When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom. Let it be. Speaking words of wisdom. The song Let It Be, as you already know, was composed and sung by Paul McCartney. The background, regret. His mother, Mary, died when he was just 14 years old. He regretted that he was not able to spend much time with the mother. At the height of his regret, he wished that and the mother will appear to him in a dream and say something. And his wish was answered. The mother appeared in a dream and said to Paul, "Paul, let it be. I know you missed me, but I'm gone. It is what it is." 90% of people in America have some form of regrets. The second most mentioned emotion after love is regret. According to Happify, a website dedicated to providing skills on how to be happy in life. As announced, I'll be speaking today on a powerful life, power over life's regrets. Please stand with me as we read our text, 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12. On the seventh day the child died, David's attendants were afraid to tell him that the child was dead, for they thought, while the child was still living, he wouldn't listen to us when he spoke to him. How can we now tell him that the child is dead? He may do something desperate. David noticed that the attendants were whispering among themselves and realized that the child was dead. "Is the child dead?" he asked. "Yes," they replied. Then David got up from the ground after he had washed, put on lotions, and changed his clothes. He went into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he went to his own house, and at the request of his, they served him food, and he ate. His attendants asked him, "Why are you acting this way? While the child was alive, you fasted and wept. But now, the child is dead, you get up and eat." He answered, "While the child was still alive, I fasted and wept. I thought, who knows? The Lord may be gracious to me and let the child live. But now that he is dead, why should I go on fasting? Can I bring him back again? I will go to him, but he will not return to me." God bless you. You may be seated. Folks, we can live or we can have power over life's regrets. That is my good news to you this morning. Now you can go home. Let us now discover how regrets develop. In your outline, letter A, how do life's regrets develop? There are different types of regrets. According to Northwestern School of Management, love and marriage, 16%. Family, 15%. Education, 13%. Career, 12%. Finance, 9%. The list, of course, is not exhaustive because there are regrets related to life's goals, health, parenting, regrets, dealing with spiritual matters. Regardless of your regret, all regrets develop the same way. They share the same steps on how they happen. Case in point in today's message is King David, the writer of most of the book of Psalms and the anointed worship leader of Israel. We love King David. and the book of Psalms because they cover a wide range of normal human emotions, including regrets. David will tell it like it is, including his struggles and life's regrets. Look at A1 in your outline. Regret starts with a situation. Say it with me, situation. You can also call it life circumstance, opportunity, as we see it in 2 Samuel 11, 1 to 3. Situation. In the spring, at the time when the kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israel army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around the roof of his palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very ugly, beautiful. And David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, "She is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam and the wife of Uriah the Hittite." Kings in ancient times have absolute power over their subjects. In the natural, they can basically do what they want over their people. David at this time was the king of Israel. He was supposed to be a God-fearing king. He was presented with a situation. Call it life circumstance or opportunity. An opportunity for David to do the right thing before God, who said, "Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife." King David's army was out there in the battlefield against the Ammonites, but he remained in the palace instead of leading the army with his trusted general Joab. While David was relaxing in the terrace, according to our text, he saw Madonna, the material girl, taking a shower. You know, please understand that this event happened approximately 2,000 or so years ago. There were no curtain showers. So relax, man. Relax. This was the situation faced by King David in our text. But David didn't stop there. From situation to decision, David decided to covet Uriah's wife. We see that in 2 Samuel 11, 4. Then David sent messengers to get her. She came to him and he slept with him. To complicate his already wrong decision, he decided to use his power as king of Israel to get Bathsheba. He sent his aide to do this for him. And as I've said earlier, kings, especially in that part of the world, have unrestricted power over their people. He then devises an evil scheme to cover it up by making it appear that it was a legitimate child of Uriah, the husband. However, when this horrible maneuvering failed, David devised another strategy. The second was worse than the first. He decided to have Uriah killed in the battlefield by instructing General Joab to send him to the front line. Situation, decision, and then we have next, of course, the result. Number three, result. As a result of David's evil scheme, Uriah was killed in battle as ordered by King David. So the complex consequences of David's decisions now are as follows: moral failure, covetousness, and then which led to subsequently the death of Uriah. But that's not the end. David had a child because of that relationship, and in our text, we see that the child died after being sick. That is 2 Samuel 11:5. David's bad decisions resulted in gross mistakes, unthinkable actions against God. God was angry at David, and of course, there were repercussions in his relationship with God, family, his reign, which he deeply regretted. This leads us to the next step, A4, regret. Regret happens when a person realizes that he or she made a poor choice regarding his or her action or inaction. Think with me for a moment, folks, about this question, and I'm posting it on you. Which linger more in our memory? Our regrets as a result of the wrong we did, omission, or the failure to do what we needed to do, or commission? Cornell University professor of psychology Tom Gilovich gives the answer, so relax. Regrets due to our inaction or omission sticks longer than regrets related to our action commission. This is because regret due to neglect or failure to do what we know we should do for ourselves, loved ones, or for God implies that we have the opportunity, resources, capability, but failed by default by not doing it or doing them, the psychology professor further explained. A more solemn explanation is provided by Jeff Hayden on this question, and I quote, "Regret due to inaction or neglect is just one mistake," Hayden stressed. "On most occasions, you can never go back to fix them." Ouch. That's why different studies on this matter provide convincing statistics to put this question to rest. 28% of people have regrets due to bad decisions or actions done. And look at this. In sharp contrast, 72% have regrets for not doing what they know they should do. Examples of regrets of three notable people in America. President Barack Obama regretted that he did not spend enough time with his two daughters during their elementary years. Martha Stewart, she wished she had more children. Billy Graham is included here. And I quote directly from him. Billy Graham said, "I wish I spent more time at home with my wife and my children." If that's not enough, a more serious note provided by Grace Blurock, a certified transformational coach who works with hospice patients. You know, for those who know, are familiar with hospice, if you are a hospice patient, you have only 6 months to live or less. According to Grace Blurock, who worked for 6 years in hospice, she noted the eight most regrets people in their dying moments, and they are arranged according to their severity. One, "I wish I had been loving to the people who matter most." Two, "I wish I had been a better spouse." Three, "I wish I had not spent much time working." Her explanation, The person had an imbalanced life, focusing only on the work, neglecting the wife, children, relationships, and other aspects of life. Next, I wish I had been happier and enjoyed life more. I wish I had lived my own dream. I wish I had taken better care of myself. I wish I had done more for others. To further drive home the point, we are sometimes moved and say, I wish I did not make that mistake. I wish I spent more time with my kids. Now they are gone or at home. I wish I had pursued my dreams. Wish my spouse still here. Wish my siblings are still here with me. I wish I have handled it differently. I would, could, should. It is a replay of these feelings which lead us to the last steps to the development of regrets, which is number 5, replay. Replay. After the gravity of David's regrets as a result of a series of grave decisions, actions, he was deeply moved with brokenness and repentance, regret. He played his experience again and again, sincerity and contrition as found in Psalms 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquities, cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, O Lord. Don't take your spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. Renew a right spirit within me. He replayed it, even in the book of Psalms. It is understandable if you replay the theme of regrets. You are not alone in your experience with regrets. As imperfect people who were given freedom to choose by our Creator, the possibility of making imperfect decisions in the exercise of that free choice is inherent in the free choice. David experienced it. Jacob, Esau, experience it. St. Paul, Peter, experience it. I, for one, is acquainted with regret. I feel you. I am with you. But most of all, Jesus, our high priest, is familiar with all our griefs, sorrows, painful experiences in life. Jesus can help us change the theme and refrain of our song of I wish, I wish, I wish, to a new song of victory, victory in Jesus. There is power, power. The working power by the blood of the Lamb. But how? Let us now focus on letter B. How can we behave, or how can we have power over life's regrets? This is the solution. So chill. I know some of you have already cried. Cheer up. B1. Accept what we cannot change. accept what we cannot change. 20 to 23. Then, look at the word then David got up from the ground after he had washed, put on lotions, changed his clothes. He went to the house of the Lord, worship. Then he went to his own house. At his request, they served him food, and he ate. His attendants asked him, "Why are you acting this way? While the child was alive, you fasted and wept, but now the child is dead, you get up and eat." His attendants he answered, that's David, "While the child was still alive, I fasted, wept. I thought, who knows? The Lord may be gracious to me and the child, and the child will live. But," look at the word "then" and then "but." "But now that he is dead, why should I go on fasting? Can I bring him back again? I will go to him, but he will not go to me." In other words, David was saying, "Let it be." Say it with me. There will be an answer. The background of 2 Samuel chapter 12 that I just read to you just now. The baby born as a result of David's regrettable relationship got seriously sick, eventually died. David was then informed by the palace officials that the baby is dead. David then told his officials that he will accept this reality. "My child is dead. I cannot bring him back. He will not return." Of course, before that, give him credit, he fasted and prayed for a week for the child to recover. "But now the child is dead." Say it with me, "Let it be." It is what it is. I cannot change that. David was trying to say, "I need to accept reality, or else I'll be miserable for the rest of my life. I still need to live my life and perform my life's responsibility." Is there a reality in your life that you cannot change, but you find it difficult to accept, that is negatively impacting you, your relationship, your work, and people at large? Is it a diagnosis? The death of a loved one? A lost relationship? A missed opportunity? Financial loss? An imminent major event that is a part of life's normal progression, and whatever I failed to mention? For David, it was the death of his child. What about you? When will you make that decisive decision that will foster peace, rest, completion to one's life and people around you? The next principle to enjoy power over life's regrets is to change what we can. So principle one, accept what you cannot change. And then principle two, letter B, change what you can. To save time, I will not read the text again. You know what happened? David said, "Now I know my son is dead. I accept that. I cannot change that anymore. It is reality. And I can live with it." After King David experienced regret as a result of his bad choices and the death of the child, David made series of specific steps or actions to recover from his regrets. He made positive changes. And there are five of them There are five specific steps David did to have power over life's regrets. Letter A. He decided to recover the common sense. 12:20. Look at this. Then David got up from the ground, washed his face, ate, went to the temple, put lotion. Wanting to recover from regret is a fundamental step in living a life of power over life's regrets. If a person does not want to recover, no amount of prayer, fasting, Bible reading, counseling, doctor's appointment, medication, nothing will do. Please understand, I believe in the help we can receive from these resources, but only after we decide that we want to get well and recover. Know the actions David took as evidence to his decision to recover. Look at them. The word then refers to his effort to pray, fast for 1 week for the healing of the child and his baby's subsequent death, but the baby subsequently died. For a week, he had been laying on the ground, fasting and praying for the healing of his baby. The boy eventually died. He got up. Say it with me. Got up from the ground, washed his face. He put cool water lotion, changed his clothes, went to Charisma Life Church and worship. Then finally, he ordered food. Guess what? Menu? Hebrew national hot dog from Costco in Jerusalem. Not only that, went to Starbucks. Remember, the owner of Starbucks is a Jew. How about you, my friends? Have you decided, like King David, that you want to recover from life's regrets? What are your concrete steps that you have taken to help you recover from life's regrets? Have you addressed the issue of forgiveness? Another step you can take to have power over life's regrets is B2B, accept and dispense forgiveness. 2 Samuel 13:14, chapter 12. Then David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Nathan replied, the Lord has taken away your sin. You are not going to die. But because by doing this, you have shown utter contempt for the Lord, the son born to you will die. God sent prophet Nathan to rebuke David to show his great displeasure from what transpired, recorded in our text. After Nathan, the prophet, strong rebuke on David, David responded with humility and contrition. He said, I have sinned against the Lord. In the Hebrew language, just two words, halal, halal, Yahweh. The Lord's response through his prophet, the Lord has forgiven you. This is the good news for David. And for us today, the Lord is saying to David and to us today, you blew it, Dave. But I am blowing my trumpet of forgiveness to you, to you, to you, to you, to you, and to me. Our regrets sometimes are due to bad decisions. This is what happened to King David. But he did not blame others. He owned it. After you have received forgiveness from the Lord, remember to forgive yourself. Stop tormenting yourself. You are forgiven, and with God's help, do better next time. Unfortunately, on some occasion, it is not our fault. It can be caused by others. We are negatively affected by the decisions or indecisions or behavior of others. Case in point, King David. Due to his grievous mistakes, Uriah was killed, the son died, and the rest is history. This is true in family, work, relationships, local, national, international, and leadership settings. Dispensing forgiveness to the offender who causes harm is necessary for our own spiritual, emotional, mental, relational, physical well-being. Jesus, in the Lord's Prayer, said, "Forgive, so you can be forgiven by your Heavenly Father." Another step we can take to experience power over life's regrets, to see, learn from life's mistakes. 2 Samuel 20, verse 3. When David returned to his palace in Jerusalem, he took the 10 concubines he had left to take care of the palace and put them in a house under guard. He provided for them, but had no sexual relations with them. They were kept in confinement till the day of their death, living as widows. It is obvious that David's spiritual Achilles are the Madonnas. After God's stern rebuke of him and the fateful consequences of his sins and bad choices, he learned his lessons. He stopped his relationships with his pretty women, or called harem. He confined them in a house under guard. Harem are the king's collection of pretty women. Let us turn our mistakes into learning experiences, like David. Number two, letter D. Ask yourself, what benefits do I gain from dwelling with my regrets? Ask yourself that question. What do I get from this? I know what you will get. Sadness, sickness, anger, perpetual guilt, lack of sleep, and missing the opportunity of the moment to better your life on a continual basis. So what was David trying to say? He was saying, I have done what I can when my son was alive. He's dead. If I continue to dwell on my regret, maybe I even get crazy and I cannot function with my family responsibility and also as a king. It is what it is. And the song, Let It Be. If I ask you, if we keep on dwelling on the things we cannot change, called regrets, what will you benefit? Help me. And the answer is, say it. Nothing. Stop the replay, my friends, and move on. E. Stop the replay and move on. 12:20. Keep on repeating this. What did David do? Stood up from the ground. Wash his face. 8. Went to church. He tried to move on. Then David got up from the ground. Our text says, folks, there is a time to lay on the ground and replay the song and refrain of regret. But there should also be a time to stop it. Get up. and move on. The word then implies a specific time in his life when he finally decided to get up from the ground, move on with his life after regrets. Folks, if you have been wallowing from regrets for a while now, if you have been dwelling with past mistakes so long now, if you have been replaying the song of regrets daily for years now, God is telling you today, it's time to get up. From the ground of regrets, the time is now for you to bounce back. From the dust of sadness and the blame game, get up, rise up, stand up. I will forgive you as I forgave my son David. Forgive yourself and others who harm you. Folks, it's time to wash our face. Apply lotion. Change the clothing of regrets. Eat, celebrate, and worship God again with joy, hope, power, victory. Let us change the refrain of our song from that of despair to that of hope and victory in Christ. Christ can give us power over life's regrets and make our lives worth living. Because Christ lives, I can face tomorrow. Because Christ lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. And life is worth a living because he lives. Let us now offer our regrets to the living and compassionate High Priest, Jesus Christ. Ask Jesus to give us strength to accept what we cannot change, and then change what we can. When we do that, we will experience power over life's regrets. Stand with me, please, as Noel sing our altar call song. I want you at this time to think about this. Accept what you cannot change. Change what you can.
The joy and the pain.
that red light on the screen before I pray for you. The red light on the screen. You know what red light means. So today, like David, make a decision to stop rehearsing that regret. You cannot change it. Make a ceremony before God today. Lord, I stop it right here, right now. And then see the next light. The green light. The Lord is giving you a brand new opportunity. He said, you stop it, and then from now on, go on. I bless you with God's victory and God's power and God's deliverance and anointing and freedom and release in your life. In Jesus' name, have a good week.